has been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Friday. It's the Friday. It's the August 18th edition of the Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management. And it is a freaky Friday. The markets are down, but I'm seeing something here that I will talk about once we get these numbers out of the way. We have the Dow down 89. To 34,385. That's just a quarter of a percent, so not too bad. The S&P is down a half a percent to 43.47. Okay, we haven't been that low in a while, but we kind of needed a healthy pullback in the market if you've been reading my newsletter here recently. And the NASDAQ is down 1.1%, down 141, but that's where I'm really starting to see something occur in the NASDAQ, and we'll talk about that in just a minute. And here's the encouraging part to me. The Russell 2000 small caps are actually up today, and they've been under some heavy pressure. Crude oil's up 34 cents to 80.73. Gold is up 860 to 1923. Silver's up 9 cents to 2281. And here's another encouraging sign that I'm seeing. The 10-year, which has been bumping its head against resistance, is now backing off from that resistance, and we're down 6 basis points to 4.25. And last but not least, I got to mention Bitcoin. It's down 2,089 today to 26,263. So welcome to today's Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management, a fee-based nationwide, fee-based only money management firm. And we are active in the markets, but that doesn't mean we're day trading and flipping in and out of things. We just try to watch these major trends that develop. And right now, the trend that we're in, and I mentioned this the last couple of weeks in the newsletter, you know, within an uptrend, every once in a while, you get a little secondary move, not a primary move. A primary reversal of an uptrend would be a move to a bear market, okay?
2022.
Yes, okay, but a secondary trend is just a downtrend within an uptrend, okay? And now that we're down about 5 or 6% in the S&P, I spent a lot of time this morning analyzing different charts and technical levels and everything. And I came away with, I think this little correction is about over. And the reason I say that is this correction has mostly been driven by a rise in interest rates.
Yeah, a fast rise.
A very quick rise. Yeah. And that took about 6% out of the NASDAQ, and it took about 5% out of the S&P 500. This is all normal during the course of time. The market, if you look at the big picture of the market, it's been going up since 2009. And yet along the way, we've had many secondary downtrends. We've even had some brief bear markets during the COVID period of time and last year, but they quickly recovered, and that rise that we've been in since 2009, which has been created by rising earnings since 2009, have created a rising market since 2009. So number one, I have to really look at that resistance. That's heavy resistance. You got to go back to October when we last saw 4.30 on the 10-year.
Well, and you got to go back to 2007. I was trying to find I was looking at it was like, well, let me look at a longer term chart because it was the highest we've been, obviously, in the last 12 months. Got all the way to the 25-year chart, and then finally found a point where the 10-year was this high, and it was in November of 2007.
Yeah, and that it's backing off today, which is a good sign. And I believe that the NASDAQ is going to react. And I think that you're looking at a pretty decent entry point once again. And I've been saying for the last several weeks, I've had the yellow caution flag up, meaning there's oil on the track. Don't spin out. There's a lot of high PE. We need a little bit of a correction in the market, and we've been through that process. It's painful. It's always painful. It's no fun. But at the same time, there's not much you could do about it, okay? It's like the weather.
Yeah, we look for some bonds. Look for some bonds while we're waiting.
And we did buy one yesterday. Yeah. Oh, I got to put that out today. Remind me to put out a message on that.
Yeah, 5.8% for 4 years, and it's a quality company
to get 5.8%. Yeah. So, anyways, I think in the stock market, we're also seeing the NASDAQ, S&P, and the Dow starting to hit support. So you've got interest rates hitting resistance, and you've got the major indexes hitting support. So I will be looking today. We did have one inverse fund out there. We picked on the most volatile, overpriced area of the market, and I closed it out today for a quick 6% gain. Now I'll be looking at the other side of the coin, I think, today. Okay, so
speaking of coin, do you look at Bitcoin today?
It's getting slammed.
It's down 7.5%.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on.
Risk off move.
Yeah, we have no exposure. It is a risk on asset. It is somewhat correlated to the market, but then again, it's not.
It is when the market's risky or when it's packing on risk, right? It's kind of in those intermediate periods. It kind of meanders and does its own thing. But at the extremes, the buying side and the selling side from a market perspective, it has been highly correlated.
Yes. But now on the one that is correlated and the one that's been hit hard have been the small cap stocks. They always react more to interest rates. They're more highly sensitive to interest rates than large caps are. And they're up today. So, okay, I'm sensing that maybe this midsummer heat wave, which has kind of melted the market, 5 or 6%, could be starting to reverse course here today. So that's from my mouth to God's ears, right? The market was down yesterday. The Dow was down 291. The NASDAQ down 158. And I don't care what stock it is, okay, any of the major NASDAQ stocks, Meta, Apple, Amazon, Alphabet's actually held up a little bit better than most, Microsoft, AMD, all the big NASDAQ players have about the same chart right now, weak, going through a correction. And that's, that happens from time to time. Now, the gap between the 2-year and the 10-year is narrowing to just 61 basis points today. I think that's good news. We'll be checking where the forward PE of the S&P 500 has definitely come down this week. I'm going to guess, I haven't done my math yet, be doing that in the newsletter, I'm going to guess it's below 19. I'm going to guess we're now back in that 18, mid to high 18 range with the forward PE of the S&P 500, which is about where it belongs, and we can again calculate our target price for the S&P for this year. And for the next 12 to 18 months, you know, somewhere in that area with the multiple, the earnings side of the equation is pretty solid for this year. I don't see it coming in much higher or lower than what the expectations are. Next year we have numbers. That's all I can say. And we're getting a lot of companies now giving numbers out for next year. And we're starting to get some extrapolations out into 2025. I'll be updating those in today's newsletter. That's critical. That's key to everything. The stocks follow earnings as long as the multiple doesn't get too rich. So if you want to get 2 free weeks of the newsletter, you go to GundersonCapital.com. I'll do my best to find a featured stock in the market this week once again. Don't be surprised if it comes from the energy patch. Or don't be surprised if it's something you've never heard of before. That's what I try to do with those featured stocks of the week. Once again, you can get two free weeks by going to my website at GundersonCapital.com. Another thing that is up today, oil prices are up, which tend to be an indicator of the global economy. But when we come back, we've got to take a look at some of the news that continues to come out of China. Will there be a contagion? Okay, that word is starting. That means a spread. That means a virus that will spread throughout the economy, throughout the world. We'll be right back. Welcome back here to the second quarter of today's Best Stocks Now show, where really the news of the day has got to be Bitcoin. I don't know why. You know, it's hard to figure out Bitcoin, but it's getting slammed for a couple $1,000 per coin today. That seems like there's been nothing but good news recently on Bitcoin.
Yeah, you had the futures, what, the futures thing from Coinbase, and then what, BlackRock, I think it was last month that kind of kicked off one of this, you know, kind of most recent surge in Bitcoin. Where, remember, they announced coming out with an ETF or working on an ETF with, I guess, the SEC, or I don't know how they get those.
Yeah.
Somebody's got to approve it. They haven't really done much in the ETF world as of late with Bitcoin. So.
Well, the NASDAQ was down 1.1%. Now it's down just 80 basis points. So I guess right when I said it bottomed. The NASDAQ is listening to me, you know?
Yeah, right.
Okay, well, let's take a look. The euro area inflation drops to 5.3% in July, meeting the consensus. Okay, all right. Nothing wrong with that. And, of course, we saw the Atlanta Fed predicting 2.5% over the next 12 months, which, if that's right, I mean, that's pretty much the Fed's target price. That means they wouldn't have to do anything except maybe lower rates if the economy got soft. That was the Atlanta Fed. Now, here's the elephant in the room right now, China. China Evergrande has been in the news before. That's the big property developer, which is a huge, huge bit of their economy. About 20% of their economy is developing all that land they've got. China Evergrande seeks Chapter 15 protection during a $32 billion debt restructuring. It's kind of like their TARP moment. A little bit. I mean, is China going to step in? The property owner developer is saddled with over $300 billion in debt. That's a lot for a company. It's proceeding with its offshore debt restructuring as planned. Okay. Chapter 15 lets them reorganize. The struggling property developer had unveiled its offshore notes restructuring plan, which provides debt holders with a range of options in March. I imagine none of the options are very good.
And they've been digesting this for a while.
Long time.
Yeah, I mean, just think back when, you know, remember all the stories about the ghost cities and things of that nature? I mean, that was in mid-2010s, right? I mean, so they've had a glut of, you know, property, real estate, for a long time, because it's just been a growth engine. It's been a way that they've just, you know, dumped money into it, so then keeps people busy and keeps manufacturing going.
Yeah, well, I mean, they gave out going concern a warning a while back in 2022, And then recently they said that they have enough money to get halfway through 2024. So anyways, and now how bad is the property crisis in China? Is there contagion risk? China is the world's second largest economy. They're in a predicament, and the property market stands at the heart of its troubles. Construction accounts for as much as a quarter of China's gross domestic product. But real estate reverberations are shaking up confidence, and many are afraid about knock-on effects for the overall economy. They're also looking at, you know, a possible deflationary spiral. And, of course, the world's most indebted property developer by far, China Evergrande, filed for protection Chapter 15 of the U.S. Bankruptcy Code. And another Chinese developer, Country Garden, they missed dollar-denominated debt payments. Hey, they might be floating some bonds, Barry. I bet they're paying some good good rates on those babies.
I've seen Woo. Some interesting ones in doing some research as of late. There's some names I've came across where I was like, that's a high rate, like a 12% yield
to the
worst.
Oh, my gosh. Well, the People's Bank of China has been cutting interest rates, and there's been talk about tax breaks and incentives. But many of these stimulus measures fuel China's rapid expansion in the real estate bubble in the first place. There's also structural issues at play, such as slowing urbanization and a shrinking population, meaning policymakers might have to prepare for an extended period of weaker growth. Well, we'll see. Their other option is to go big or go home, which is what, you know, we had to do with the TARP. So anyways, that's what's going on in China. Piper Sandler, I'm with them. Sometimes I agree with these guys, sometimes I don't with these macro firms. Piper Sandler sees S&P 500 rallying almost 10% by the end of the year. I'm with Piper. That would match up pretty much with our target price. You're at $43.50 right now. Don't forget, who was it recently? Oppenheimer put out a $4,900. I bet they wish they could take that one back.
They put it right before things started to unravel. Yeah.
Next time they put out a target price, I'm going to sell the market, you know, get out, because they seem to be a good contrary indicator. Piper Sandler says the S&P will end the trading year at 48.25. Yeah, okay. Well, you know what? I'm more in the 4,700 range. They're at 48.25.
And I just saw where Yardeni, I think, moved to, it's, I think, around 4,600, and he's an economist, so he's usually a little bearish.
Yeah, but him and I are usually pretty much in sync with one another, okay?
He's pragmatic, you know.
Yes, I mean, just he's a numbers guy. He's a mathematician.
Exactly.
Well, the prediction came even as the major averages have seen a recent pullback. Well, we were due for a recent pullback. We got to a point where, you know, just looking at my year-end target price, where the market was, and looking at the short-term upside of the market, it was negative 7%. So in my opinion, we needed to get a pullback of about 7. We're at 6% now. But now, you know, now things are starting to look more interesting. And as of yesterday, I looked at the S&P 500 year to date. It's only up 14.5 year to date now. It's gone through a 4.2% correction. It was up almost 19%. And the NASDAQ has gone through more like 6 or 7%. July 27th was the high. And if you go back to the 2022 low, the S&P is up 26.4%. So there's been a healthy correction. Here's a stock in trouble, Hawaiian Electric. Well, you know, we saw what happened in California with PCG, Pacific Gas and Electric, and the down. I read that the 29 poles, electric power poles, went down during those winds in Hawaii and were more likely the cause of the fire, you would think. And Hawaiian Electric has done nothing, to prevent this kind of thing. We'll be right back. This is Bill Gunderson. Thank you for tuning in to today's Best Stocks Now, Best Inverse Funds Now show. I put several hours of research in during the wee hours of the morning each day to bring you the very best cutting-edge stories that I can. To get 2 free weeks of my newsletter, go to GundersonCapital.com. To talk to us about our fee-based only money management services, call us at 855-611-BEST. Now, back to the second half of the show. And welcome back here to the second half of today's Best Stocks Now show. Well, Hawaii's calling out the investigators as, they're going to look at the whole what took place. I watched the press conference. Man, there was a lot of missteps there. The guy that was supposed to sound the alarm did not sound the alarm, and I read that he resigned today from his post. And the guy that was supposed to release the water didn't release the water because water is sacred and belongs to the people of the planet. I don't know, a lot of weird stuff there going on in that Hawaiian Electric, which was a $40 stock before the fire, is now a $12 stock after hitting 10 yesterday. Where does that push the yield?
Yeah, well, where does it push utilities? Well, I mean, because I think they put their junk, the bond ratings, I think they went to junk status like the day or two after the fires on the bond side. But, where does that put utility investors, for example, right? I mean, the old utilities, dividend clipping, right? And then, next thing you know, you've got a utility because of, whether it's their incompetence or just natural disaster in general, right? It's next thing the stock moves from what, 40 to 12, you said? So
yeah, well, apparently they were warned for many years about the
right.
danger.
Yep.
And they should have mitigation plans, and they did nothing about it. And 29 poles, that's what I heard from the wind, were knocked down. So more is pretty likely that's how the fire started. Now, from my understanding, Hawaiian Electric is owned by citizens. It's not a private company like Pacific Gas and Electric is. So Pacific Gas Electric was held liable and had to pay billions and billions of dollars. I don't know. This is new ground we're covering here with Hawaiian Electric. I don't know what's going to become of the stock. But like you say, I mean, the dividend yield's 11.2%. If I got to believe they're probably going to remove the dividend. But their goal is not to restructure, to try to work their way out of it. Okay, in India, all of a sudden, India was on the receiving end of a lot of tech companies. Apple is now building phones in India. Tesla is wanting to do a gigafactory in India. Intel's doing business, Apple, etc. Now they're raising a voice. All of a sudden, India comes along with a PC, personal computer, import curb. All kinds of regulations and hoops that these companies would have to go through. In other words, I probably want a little bit of money under the
grease
I don't
wheels
know.
A little bit, right? Yeah, and Apple wasn't happy about it.
They're raising their voice against India's PC import curbs. So, anyways, that's a big setback there. Now, the stock that I warned you about, the electric car maker from Vietnam. Which went public and on day one had a market cap bigger than Rivian, bigger than the other Lucid, etc. It went
Fisker,
to, let's see, it got up to, I think, $45 per share. I don't know who's buying this stuff. and thinking that this is going to be, you know, the second biggest electric car company to Tesla. It got up to 39. Well, now it's at 15. So,
wow.
I don't imagine you could have found any stock to short up at that level. But it's called VinFast. It went up fast and it came down fast. VFS. And then there's another one that's cratering today, Farfetch, which has nothing to do with dogs and milk bones and tennis balls. It's the fashion operator, which came along, got to $73 a share in 2021. This is one of the ones that everybody was chasing in 2022. During the go-go year, actually 2021, it got up to $73 a share. Guess where it is right now? From 73, it's $3. It's $3 a share. I never could see this model working out myself, but there was a lot of hype around it, and it hasn't worked out. And the market cap at one time, the market cap got to, let's see, 15, about 20 billion. Now it's at 1.2 billion. It's down 35%. So there's your crater of the day.
I can't believe how many times that thing was written about on.
It got a lot of press. Oh my gosh. And I'm just sitting there going, what in the world? Why would you buy this stock? Anyways, deer is getting hit today. Nothing runs like a deer. It's running the wrong way today. It's down 4.7% after their earnings report. I thought it was a pretty good report. Their sales were up 30% and their earnings were up 42%, but it must have been about their guidance. And the stock is down almost 5%. And then one that we'll report tonight that we'll keep an eye on is Palo Alto Networks, PANW. It's actually up a little bit right now. It's up 1%, but it's sold off quite a bit. Look,
well, Fortinet, remember Fortinet really kind of messed
yeah,
the whole
took
space
down
up,
that whole so. Cybersecurity sector.
Yeah.
Every major software stock, every major semiconductor stock, every major tech stock, they're all down anywhere from 5 to 20% over the last, since that peak. What was it, July 27th or something like that?
Yeah, can we get NVIDIA just to come out with just a blowout report on nothing next Wednesday?
It's possible.
The 23rd. The market could use it, right?
Yeah, but I think personally, I think that these tech stocks are putting in another bottom here after a pretty steep correction. So NVIDIA has gone from 480 to 420. That's 12%. Apple has gone from 200 to 173. That is, let's see, from 200, that's $27 per share. That's 13%. So that's the range. Okay, yes, the S&P is corrected by 5%, but you get into these big tech stocks, and it's double digits. It's been a double-digit correction. Meta from 326 to 280, that's they're all right about 12-13%, and I just see them hitting a bottom here. I see the buying starting to come back in. They're going to go opposite of interest rates. Okay, then we have a Starboard activist investor going after Bloomin' Brands, which is Outback Steakhouse, and their others. They could use some kind of new energy, I think, into that franchise. I remember back in the late 90s, early 2000s, that was the Chipotle of its day. I mean, that was a red-hot stock. Outback started in Florida, spread across America. You had to wait, long waits to get in. It was difficult to get a franchise. If you got a franchise, that was then. Okay, this is now, and now it's a potential turnaround story. Then the other stock that's in the news, and this one gives me hope too, Applied Materials. I think this could be the one that helps to turn these semiconductors around. You had a couple of small semiconductor suppliers this past week really tank. But Applied Materials is a major equipment maker. And they had a really good report. It's up right now 1.6%. So I'm calling a bottom to the chip sector here after about a 12 to 13% correction, okay? And Applied Materials is helping out here today. And then last but not least, another disaster, Estee Lauder. Although it's come back now. It was down 10 or 12%. Now it's only down 1%. So it just seems that, you know, there's interest in the market again on this Friday, and it seems to be dovetail with the sell-off or the buying in the bond market driving interest rates down. Then there is one other one, Ross Stores, which also is one of the great stocks of all times, believe it or not. Tremendous management, tremendous idea. One of the pioneers in that, buying, you know, inventory from the big stores and selling it, creating a market for that. Ross Stores is up 6% today. That's an excellent chart. It's a single-digit grower these days, but I remember the early 2000s, late 90s, when it was a consistent 15% grower. And then came Amazon, right? But Ross is hitting 119 today, and it's up 5.9%. We'll be right back. Let's look for some potential buys here today. We'll be right back.
You gotta go where you wanna go.
Welcome back here to the final segment of today's Best Stocks Now show. Okay, the Dow. The winner on the Dow today is Walmart. And, of course, Walmart reported earnings yesterday. They ended down because the rest of the market was down. Now the market seems to be stabilizing, normalizing a little bit. And now they're getting credit for their good report. They're up 1.5%. But it's hard to make a case for Walmart. The upside potential, I guess if you want to park money, get your dividend yield, and maybe eke out some small gains over the years, it's hard for me to justify it from a valuation point of view. Verizon's up 1%. Cisco, which had a good report yesterday, that's pretty good chart on Cisco. Got a little bit of life. I'm not a fan of Cisco because their growth is single digits. Cisco is the second biggest winner. And then Intel is up today. That's maybe going to help turn these semis around. Intel's up 0.25%. And Applied Materials is also up 1.4%. So two chip stocks there. In the positive today. We haven't seen that for a while. The losers in the Dow, Johnson & Johnson down 1.3, and Microsoft, which hasn't had an update since, I think, Tuesday was the last update in the NASDAQ. It's been, again, okay, I bet Microsoft, I'm going to guess, it's down 12 to 13%. It's gone from 366 to 313. That's a 53 points. 53, that would equate to about a 9% drop in Microsoft since it hit its high. And so, I mean, that's just 9 to 12% somewhere in there on these big tech stocks. The winners in the S&P 500, Ross Stores, biggest winner, it's up 5%. It's up 5.9%, Ross Stores is, right now. I guess the consumer, I mean, Target had a pretty good report, but still in trouble.
Yeah, but Walmart, I mean, you know, a lot of your discount retailers, right? You think of, you know, there's only so many of them left, I guess, now. But, you know, Ross, didn't TJ Maxx?
They had a pretty good report.
They reported a couple days ago, yeah, had a good report. Wonder what Dollar Tree is doing.
the retail sales numbers earlier this week came in strong. So, anyways, still have a lot of strength there. Generac is the other winner here in the probably yeah, California is going to get hit. Now, I live during, you think that we only get hurricanes here on the East Coast, which we do, but I went through some hurricanes in Southern California. They come up from Mexico in those warm waters. And that Hillary is going right, not that Hillary, Hurricane Hillary, is going right up the coast of of Baja.
Baja, yeah. It's
Cabo, you know, and all of the Ensenada, headed right for San Diego, right for Los Angeles. And I can remember 20-foot waves. It was in the summertime, many years ago, and massive flooding there in Carlsbad, et cetera. That looks. This one looks like it's a Category 4 hurricane right now. So Generac, okay, here's my Generac story. I ordered one a year ago. Yeah. Still, it's sitting there. You know, they've installed it, but it's not hooked up. I mean, it doesn't do any good. That's all I can do is account it to just inept people, you know, working. I bought it from one of the generator super center.
But you bought the product, so you got the product. It's just not, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's just like one delay after another, you know. Well, you know what? If there's a big hurricane that hits here, I'm going to be pretty mad. This is hurricane season, right? And, you know, that thing is sitting there. It's on its supports. I've planted plants around it to hide it from the neighbors. They still haven't hooked it up. My wife wrote a scathing review that finally got them off the dime. We got called the next day. She wrote a Google review or whatever. So, you know, there is some good out there coming from these different review sites and whatnot. Anyways, that's my Generac story. It's up 5.7. Kohl's is up 3.8. Abercrombie and Fitch is up 3.7. How about that?
I guess all on the materials. Retail sales, yeah.
And then on the NASDAQ, you know, all the big ones, Meta's down a couple. I'm just saying that I think this is the final capitulation on these tech stocks or very close to it. And I've been surprised. We have had drops in interest rates here recently, and then the interest rates came roaring back again. Well, we're down 6 basis points. Let's hope that we can back off from here and get back down into the 4 area. 0.25% down, 30 basis points down from here, and that would really help get these tech stocks going once again.
Yeah, we're at 4.22 at the moment on the 10-year, down 8 basis points.
That's
today.
Beautiful.
So, yeah.
Okay, well, I'm ready to go to work here today. I may do a little bit of buying today. If I do, it'll show up in the newsletter tomorrow. I'll be searching for that one that is good enough to be called the featured best idea of the week. You can get, and I'll be updating that all-important macro outlook for this year, next year, and 2025. You can get 2 free weeks of the newsletter at GundersonCapital.com. And if you'd like to set up an appointment with us, 855-611-BEST, 855-611-BEST, it looks like our Michigan trip, we're looking at October 23rd is what we're looking at, in the Detroit area, where we have a lot of listeners and a lot of followers. The weekend we had chose ended up being the Detroit Auto Show.
Detroit Auto Show, which is a two-week event, by the way.
I didn't want our folks fighting traffic and all this kind of all the mucky mucks there for the Detroit Auto Show, which is a big deal. People come in from all over the world for that. So we just picked a quieter weekend, hopefully. I don't think Detroit's going to be in the World Series this year, so any threat there. Okay, well, if you'd like to get the newsletter again, GundersonCapital.com, 2 free weeks. Last week, our featured stock of the week was a blockbuster. I think it's a blockbuster, and it had a pretty good week. What will it be this week? Well, you know what? I've got a full day of work ahead of me, and we'll narrow it down to the best and get you the best macro outlook we could possibly get for you. 855-611-BEST or GundersonCapital.com. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Ameritrade. Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.